In today's Mishnah, we're in the first and second Mishnah from the third parak of Masechet Arachin. Mishnah begins, Yesh ba'arachim lahakel ulahachmir. That we find ba'arachim there's a leniency that it presents and also a stringency. We also find this by Ste Achuza. We're going to learn about that in next Mishnah, lahakel ulahachmir. And then Beshor Hamuad, also for an ox that kills at Shemitah to Eved, that kills an Eved. Also lahakel ulahachmir has a leniency and a stringency. Be'ones mafate in a case of rape or seduction, and Moti Shemra, Lakel Lachmir. Now, all these cases the Mishnah is going to discuss in the coming days. We have sometimes have the fortune of the Mishnah and the first Mishnah and the Perek almost providing a table of contents for us, so therefore I will delay explaining all these cases until we meet them head on, one by one. So the Mishnah first begins with Arachin. Yesh ba'arachin al-hakel al-hachmir. We find about the leniency and the stringency by Arachin. How so? Echad shirechet ha-na'esh b'Yisrael v'tach ka'ur b'Yisrael. Someone may have stipulated to make an erech vow regarding the most beautiful and handsome and strong strapping individual in Israel, or the most despised and despicable physically on many levels of Israel. In any event, if he happens to be a male between the age of 20 and 16, or 10 chamishim slaim, it's a fixed value. So therefore, if he said the erech of someone whose value is far greater than that, that provides a leniency. However, it provides a stringency if the subject of the erech vow was someone who is worth a lot less. Because the Mishnah explains, v'imamar harei damava life, if someone to give the value of such an individual, then we simply look at what that value of the individual is, and that's how much this person has to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash. Noten et shavio. And as we explained, that we look at how much they would sell in the slave market. Let's now learn Mishnah Bet. Bisteach uzan la'kel lachmir. So to understand this Mishnah, there's two different types of, ways of defining one's field. One is a ste'achuza, that is a field that they've inherited, that's ancestral lands, whereas ste'mikneh is a field that one purchases. What the Mishnah is addressing here is if someone is makdish, if someone consecrates, says, I'm consecrating this to the base of Mikdash, and then wants to redeem it. When it comes to ste'achuza, what happens is that depending on the size of the field, there's a fixed value per size that one has to give. And that diminishes over the years of Yovel. Let's start the Mishnah. V'steachuzah la'kel lachmir. How do we find someone's ancestral land? If they're makdish it, there's a leniency and a stringency. The Mishnah says, Keitzad, achad ha-mikdish b'cholat machoz v'achad ha-mikdish b'pardusot savasti. So whether someone's makdish a land of his that happened to be in an area that's garua, meaning very, very low quality and very cheap lands, or if someone is makdish his orchards in a place called savasti, which is very expensive in the Shomron region that is of a high value. It doesn't matter how much does he have to pay. It says, Noten, Bezera, Chomer, Seorim, as the Torah says, he has to pay in an area where one can plant a kur of Seorim. A kur is a value which is 30 Se'ah, and that area is 75,000 square amah. He has to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef, 50 Shekel Kesef per that region. That's the fixed amount. Again, there's a leniency and a stringency because the land might be worth more or less than that. It does not matter. That's the fixed value. Now, to be specific here, that's a fixed value if he's in the first or second year. However, each year after that, if he wants to redeem it, it would actually reduce by a seller or pundion for every year that has passed. So in other words, the closer he gets to the over year, he has to pay a lot less. We're going to learn about that in the seventh perek, so stay tuned. What's here is the Gemara says that if it was an orchard, then, or a ste ilan, if it's got trees in it, then the ilanot would be redeemed according to their value, whereas the land itself would be treated with this fixed value per size. However, b'ste mikne, if someone purchased a field, and then makdish, then consecrated the base of Mikdash, he would not only have to pay at shivyor the value of it. So again, we find a parallel here between fields that we do in the case, if you like, erechim and damav. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, echad ste'achuza v'echad ste'mikneh. He says, it doesn't matter what type of field it is, whether you've purchased it or whether it was inherited, part of your ancestral lands, it doesn't make a difference. We have this fixed value that has to be paid. So Mishnah then asks, ma bein ste'achuza l'ste'mikneh, what difference is there between these two types of fields then? Mishnah says, ela b'ste'achuza noten chomesh. If it's your ste'achuza, if it's yours, and you come to redeem it, you have to add the chomesh, you have to add an extra fifth. We explain that's really 25% because it's a fifth after it's been added, so a fifth of the total value after it's been added. In other words, that's amount you'd have to add according to Rabbi Eliezer if it was your ancestral lands over that fixed amount. Or be standing there when it comes to land that you purchased, you wouldn't have to pay that extra chomesh at all. In other words, again, so according to Rabbi Yezer, we still run by this fixed value. So also you have the Akel Lachmir by Ste Mikne. Whereas Chachamim say, absolutely not, fixed value is only by this Ste Achuzah. Kati at the end mentions an additional difference between Ste Achuzah and Ste Mikne, which we'll learn about. I'll mention it now anyway, since Kati raises it. And that is a Ste Achuzah, if someone's makdish it and someone else redeems it, and we hit the over year, then it doesn't go back to the ridge of the family. It's divided amongst the Kohanim instead. However, Ste Mikne, if someone consecrates a field that he purchased, and that wasn't his ancestral land, then what happens is it's actually still returned to the owners, original owners, like any field that was purchased, despite the fact the purchaser was makdish, meaning he consecrated to be up to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah here was only really interested in differences, or I guess I should say Rebbe Eliezer was interested in the difference regarding when the individual himself redeems it, but not other halachic differences between Ste Achuzah and Ste Mikneh. Those are the Mishnah today.